Jesus says that we are the light of the world and that we are the salt of the earth. But just what does that mean? The Bible tells us that we should come out from among them and be separate, that you and I have the command to demonstrate the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and the love of God so that the world may know that the Lord exists. To that end, the Lord has encouraged us to write a book entitled The Christian and the Culture. The purpose of this book is to give you an opportunity to examine how the culture is trying to pull us into an ungodly lifestyle, but you and I are encouraged to live above the cultural trappings. You need to get this book into your library. There are chapters that talk about confronting the giants in your life, chapters that express God's love for you and how you and I are to separate ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says, by renewing our mind. And that is the basis of change. Our announcer is going to give you all the information you need to get this book into your personal library, to read it over and over and over again, and watch God begin to give you a sense of distinctiveness so the world will see that Jesus truly is the Lord of all creation.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus is saying, in a world filled with sin and unbelief and mistreatment, some of you, unfortunately, have been mistreated ever since you were a child. And you took it in because you couldn't fight back as a child. You were small. You were innocent. You were weak. You were a victim. And you took it in. You took the abuse from your relatives and from people in the world. And you just kept piling it in and piling it in because you couldn't fight back. And then you became an adult and your speech changed. So I ain't letting nobody hurt me again. But unfortunately, that emotion doesn't turn off. It's not selective. And that's why I tell people in many instances, the person that's getting your bad behavior isn't the person that caused it. The devil knows who to strike. He'll strike somebody in your family. He'll let somebody in your family go through something, and you'll feel that what they went through is not fair. And the people who responded, it's not fair what they did to my son or my daughter or my husband or my wife. It's not fair. So therefore, you take it out on them, not knowing the full reason. And how many of us seated in here today have undergone a hurt of some kind? You may justify the behavior of your family member, but God didn't. How do you deal with that? 1 John is confronted by this particular issue. 1 John, the saints there in Ephesus is in its final stage of decline. It is reaching the Revelation 2 identification. They don't even love God anymore. And so John is the last living apostle, and they're saying, please help us. Gnosticism has risen up in our church, and we don't know how to fight it, and we're not sure that we're born again, and all the things that were taught to us have been cast by the wayside. Please help us. John writes and says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, anybody who says he's walking in the light of Christ but dislikes his fellow man is still in darkness. You want to know why you haven't felt the presence of God the way you used to? I used to think it was because of the amount of troubles that you're under. No, it's because you dislike somebody. You ever wonder why your prophetic ministry, your preaching ministry, your teaching ministry has been shut down? You're not getting any new revelation? Because you dislike somebody. You see, God warns you first by removing your praise. He figures that'll get your attention if you don't have a praise mantle anymore. If that doesn't get your attention, then he will cause you to that anointing will lift. And you'll minister in dryness. And if that doesn't work, according to 1 Corinthians, God will take you home. And you'll die an untimely death. All because you had bitterness in your heart towards somebody that you didn't have the right to have bitterness against. People say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know why. I don't know why things are going the way they're going. Lord, I don't know why. I don't know why they're going that way. And you keep thinking it's an external devil, but in reality, if you sit down and you're honest, you'll say there's somebody with whom I have an ought. There is somebody that is literally between me and a God who told me to love them. Oh, I can love them when they're being the way I want them to be, but can you love them when they do something that you perceive to be wrong? Can you do it? See, the devil will sit on your shoulder. Two people can be whispering, and the devil say, they're talking about you. See, I went through that as a young Christian. That's what immature Christians go through. The devil will tell you, somebody looks at your husband or looks at your wife. The devil will tell you, they want your spouse. Let me tell you how you can beat that. It's a real spiritual way. I'm going to give it to you because I love you. If the enemy comes on, sits on your shoulder and tells you that somebody wants your husband or your wife, here's what you tell them. They can have them. They'll never get them. But see, at least you'll be releasing yourself from that foolishness. Because see, the reality is, why are you trying to hold on to somebody who doesn't want to be with you? So if your husband or your wife is that susceptible to somebody else, then what are you trying to hold on to them for? And then if they can't leave you because they love you and are connected to you, then how can somebody else take them? All it takes is a little logic. I'm getting tired of all these people come shaking themselves in front of my husband. Then there's a way to beat that. When you go home, put on the Climbing Higher telecast and listen to the word of God. Watch this. Anybody who says he's walking in the light but dislikes his fellow man, and I know this is a pointed message, it's tough, but I can't preach what I don't live. This is not some theory that I've developed. This message was born through 4 years of hell. But me even wondering, does God love me anymore? When I go before him and say, why do you let these people do what they're doing to me? And I'd say, just let me handle it. No, boy, shut up. You got to preach this in 2016. But I don't want to go through this now. Well, you won't have the anointing to raise the dead until you can love your enemy. You want to see limbs grow back on people? Yes, Lord. It ain't about fasting. It's about blessing them that curse you and praying for them which despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. In fact, the labor pains of the emergence of the anointing that brings the new response of the Spirit, the labor pain is you being able to go through unlovable situations. Knowing that while you're going through these low down moments, God is about to elevate you in anointing. So take it. Take it in love. Take it in love. Listen to what he says in verse 11, 1 John 2. For he who dislikes his brother is wandering around in spiritual darkness and doesn't know where he's going. For the darkness has made him blind so that he cannot see the way. Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, let us wait on our ministry. He that teach, you wait on teaching. He that exhorts, you wait on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, you rule with diligence. He that shows mercy, you do it with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. This is why I tell you that the King James is not a translation. It's a transliteration. For a translation would take the word dissimulation and give it and explain the meaning. For it comes from a Latin word, sincera, where we get the word sincere. So he's saying, let your love be sincere. Sincera means without wax. And for those in that day, they understood that people would sell pottery. And say they were selling a particular vase, and the vase had an insignificant crack in the clay. when it's dry. But when you put water in that vase, the water would come out of that crack. And so it was just one simple crack. And so the peddler would take some wax and seal the crack so that the person buying it would not know that it had a crack. And so the writing was, let your love be without wax. Sincera, sincere, let your love be without wax. You demonstrate a love to people that is not hypocritical. A love that doesn't have the imaginary boundaries of your emotion or your understanding. Let your love be sincere. You see, when you really love somebody, you don't believe evil. Let's go on. He said, let your love be sincere. Hate that which is evil. Now, the Bible seems here to suggest a certain ambiguity, a certain unclearness about what is evil. If we are not careful, it will leave us to determine what Paul is addressing from a position that is not biblically defensible. If we follow the context, let your love be sincere. Hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. What is he saying? There is no uncertainty if I follow the exegesis of the text. If my love is to be sincere, then I will hate what is being said that's evil about my brother or sister. If my love is sincere, I will not draw a conclusion based on what someone else says. If someone comes to me and says, Pastor Aaron said so-and-so, I will not let my mind be made up against him until I go ask him. It's been said that you said so-and-so. He said, Pastor, I never said such a thing. God bless you. That's great. Just wanted to know. But I refuse to let the devil sit on my shoulder after hearing it and decide he's guilty when even our Constitution says you're innocent until proven guilty by a preponderance of the evidence. But we believe what people say simply because of their status. No, Lambert's no good. How do you know? Because so-and-so said it. What if they're lying? What if they just want to turn your heart? Love doesn't let you believe it. In fact, the Bible even says, don't even receive an elder or receive an accusation against an elder unless it's by two or more people. You can't even let one person bring you slander about me. I'm an elder. You have to say, get me some corroborating evidence. Can't just be your word because you may have a selfish motive. And so the writer goes on in Romans 13 and verse 8. He says, owe no man anything but to love. That's all you're supposed to owe. Is love.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2316A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.